He was innocent. He didn't deserve to die. Anyone reading Matthew's account of the crucifixion can see that. He wasn't guilty of anything. Judas knew that. Pilate's wife knew that. Pilate knew that. And we know that. He's innocent. And yet throughout the gospel stories, including Matthew's, Jesus repeatedly says that he must die. That's why he came. That's his purpose. That was his reason for coming to earth. The death that we've just read about is shocking in its brutality. But it comes as no surprise to Jesus himself. He predicts his death repeatedly. He knew it was coming, and he warned his friends that he would have to die. He told them numerous times, "That's why I'm going up to Jerusalem, to die." It came as no shock to him. But still, we're left with the question, why? Why must this innocent Son of God die so cruelly? And if you've read the New Testament, you know the answer to that. The briefest answer to that that the New Testament writers give is that Jesus dies for us. He dies for us and for our salvation, the innocent for the guilty. Paul says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John says, Christ laid down his life for us. There's a divine exchange going on. The innocent dies for the guilty. He died for us, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. And that's the big theme of the Bible, that Jesus dies for us, for our salvation, for our rescue and restoration. And it comes as a surprise to most people when they read the New Testament. And that's why throughout the Old Testament, God prepares us. He shows us that he is a God who regularly rescues people, regularly saves people. For example, he saved Noah and his family from a flood. He saved Moses from certain death. He saved the people of Israel from Egypt. He saved Jonah from a fish's belly. He saved the psalmist from the pit. And he will save all who put their faith in the Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, who dies for us on the cross. Christ's death on the cross is the one true sacrifice that obtains an eternal deliverance for us, as Anglicans say in the communion liturgy. And this is good news. This is the gospel. The death of Jesus looks terrible and tragic, but it's for a purpose, for the salvation, deliverance, rescue, and restoration of human beings. And that is good news. But you still might be left with a question, why must Jesus die for us? There are many ways to explain that, but essentially it is to mend our broken relationship with God, to bring us to God, as Peter says. You see, God is good, God is wise, God is just, and he loves us deeply. As was mentioned earlier in the service, he loves this world that he's made. But he hates what we do to each other. He hates what we do to this world. He hates what we do to him. We hurt each other. We ruin the world that God has created for us. And we turn our back on God and pretend that we are God ourselves. God rightly and justly hates that behavior, and we are all guilty of it. And so instead of punishing us, he takes the punishment into himself because of his love for us through the death of his son. It's hard for us to fully comprehend what this means. We're not sensitive enough to God's love and justice to fully comprehend what the cost of this rescue means for him. But if we deserve rejection by God for our rejection of God, then that is what Jesus suffers in our place. Why else would he cry out from the cross, feeling that God-forsakenness? That is what he is experiencing. That is the consequence of his dying for us, dying in our place, so that we don't have to experience that God-forsakenness. That's why Jesus dies for us. As one church leader says, this means that Jesus' death is substitutionary. He dies in our place, solely for our benefit. He gets no benefit himself. He takes the penalty for our sins so that we don't have to suffer that penalty. As Professor Cranfield says in his commentary in Romans, that God decided to direct against his own very self in the person of his Son the full weight of the righteous wrath which we deserved. Now, this was not something Jesus was forced to do. This was something that Jesus agreed to do with his Father. As I like to say, the cross is a Trinitarian event. This is the depth of our Lord's love for us, that he would willingly agree with his Father to go to the cross for sinful human beings. So you do not need to be worried that Jesus has somehow been bullied by an angry father. That's not what this means. In fact, Jesus says in John's Gospel that he lays down his life of his own accord. He has the authority and the power to lay down his life, and he chooses to do that. And that's one reason, probably the reason, why we call this Good Friday, which seems a strange way to describe today. Jesus, of his own accord, out of his love, decides to die for us. Now, what do we do with this? How do we respond? I've been a Christian many years, but I'm still horrified reading the accounts of the crucifixion, and I think I'm still even more deeply affected as I hear them read publicly in a service like today's. I don't automatically focus on the meaning of the cross as I've just explained. My immediate reaction is to get caught up in the drama of the story, and I must admit to feeling angry at the apparent injustice of what is going on. I want to yell at Pilate and say, exercise your authority. Listen to your wife. For once in your life, put some spine in your backbone, Pilate. I get angry watching people with authority who don't exercise it properly. So it takes me a bit of effort to get past that sort of emotion. And then I struggle with the mystery of this death. There is no other in all of history that means what this death means. I have no other places where I can go to try and find comparisons with this death to help me understand it and explain it. That's why no illustrations or analogies for this death actually fully work. And so I do the best I can to understand what God in Christ is doing for me and for us. And even if I can't do justice to the depth and complexity of Jesus' death, I do know that this is the greatest news ever. That this is God rescuing not just me, but the whole of humanity. This is God exploding the grip of sin and death over human beings. This cry of God-forsakenness, this agony of Jesus, means that I need never experience that God-forsakenness. This death of Jesus means I need never die like this. I need never face separation from God. So I sit here today with you, as in past Easters, wondering, how do I respond? What do I do? And I think the great nonconformist hymn writer Isaac Watts says it best, as we've already heard said in the prayers, that it demands everything, demands my soul, my life, my all. If we respond to the Christ who dies for us, we don't do that half-heartedly. We do that with our whole life. I don't know what your reaction to the cross is today, but I hope if you're a Christian here today, that you will be deeply moved by what God has done for you and for us. And I hope you will recommit yourself to a life of service and obedience and worship in Christ's name. But if you're here today and you're not a Christian, or you're an irregular attender at church, I challenge you to reflect again on the meaning of the cross, or perhaps even for the first time. You may never have heard what the cross means, what Jesus' death means. If you'd like to know more about the cross, please come and speak to me or Mike, who's leading the service, and you'll find some brochures and books in the foyer. Some are free, some are for sale. Please do come and have a look at them. But what it means for anyone who's never fully grasped what the cross is all about, it means that it has relevance for you today. It's not just an event 2,000 years ago. It means that you can begin a relationship with the God who made you today. You don't have to even put it off till tomorrow. You can know that everything that you've done wrong, everything that you are embarrassed about, everything that you would not like me to know about you, that can be forgiven. That can be dealt with. God will not hold that against you. That's why Jesus died for you, for your forgiveness. You may need to change some of the things you do, some of the ways you live. But God knows what's best for you, and that won't be a bad thing if your life changes. The Apostle Peter sums it up when he says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Why did he die for us? To bring us to God. That's the power of the cross, which we'll sing about shortly. Christ's death offers life to all who will receive it. The innocent dies for the guilty. What more could God do for us? It's a Good Friday.